This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. By Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. And by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
10 minutes after 6, first of all, in our farm news, in electronic trading on the Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 6.22, up 6. September wheat trading at 6.41 and a quarter, up 6.5. July corn now trading at 5.83 and 3/4, down a quarter. September corn trading at 5.26 and a half, unchanged. July soybeans, 14.34 and 3/4, down a quarter. And August beans, 14.01, also down a quarter. The overnight crude oil market, a dime lower at 83.22. The Brent crude, 46 cents higher at 97.60. The August gold contract, $4 lower at $1,609.80. The U.S. dollar index, 0.123, lower at 82.3. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 6.16, down 14.5. September wheat closed at 6.34 and 3/4, down 13.5. December wheat closed at 6.59 and a half, down 12.25. July corn yesterday closed at 5.84, down 8. September corn closed at 5.26 and a half, down 14. December corn closed at 5.22 and a half, down 11.5. July soybeans yesterday closed at 14.35, up 10.25. August beans closed at 14.01 and a quarter, up 2.25. And September beans closed at 13.64, up 3. July soybean meal yesterday closed at $433, up a half dollar. August meal closed at $420, up 28. September meal closed at $407.80, up 31. July soybean oil yesterday closed at $49.72, down 2. August oil closed at $49.91, down 3. September oil closed at $50.10, and that was down a nickel. July oats yesterday closed at $2.95 and 3/4, up a half. September oats closed at $2.90 and a quarter, down 1.25. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Ken McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn lower and beans higher. The USDA's corn ending stocks report was at 851 million bushels, which was 25 million bushels more than traders expected, while soybean stocks were reported at 175 million bushels, a near 20 million bushels under trade expectations. Central Illinois grain dealers quoted their corn bids 8 to 11 cents lower, at 607 to 621. Soybeans mostly 10 cents higher at 1417 to 1435. And wheat was down 16 cents at 609 to 614. Corn bids in southern Illinois dropped 7 to 11 cents to close at 611 to 626. Soybeans were down, or were up 7 to 12 cents at 1422 to 1447. And wheat down 9 to 15 cents at 604 to 623. St. Louis area elevators mills reported their corn bids 7 to 9 cents lower, ranging from 611 to 618. Soybeans were up 5 to 10 cents at 1434 to 1447. Wheat down 9 to 15 at 604 to 614. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bases or bids 8 to 10 cents lower, 622 to 630. Soybeans up 9 to 11 cents at 1484 to 1496. Wheat was 6 to 14 cents lower at 597 to 614. East St. Louis barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 12 cents lower at 631 to 636. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 to 8 cents with quotations at 1462 to 1464. Wheat closed 14 cents lower at 625 to 626. And Milo was 12 cents lower at 547 to 548. This is Ken McFarland returning to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 93.52, up 20. July hogs closed at 92.80, down 87. August hogs closed at 91.75, down 95. June cattle yesterday closed at 119.55, up a nickel. August cattle closed at 120.30, unchanged. October cattle closed at 124.67, down 15 cents. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 161.15, up 90. September feeders closed at 162.22, up 80. October feeders closed at 163.07, up 90. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, June 12th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 67 cents higher. Carcass base price range, 80. To 93.01, weighted average 87.81. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 14,800. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was 1 to 2 higher, 58 to 62, a few up to 64, with Illinois direct slaughter sales steady to weak. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds, 42 to 45. 450 to 550 pounds, 44 to 48. Over 550 pounds at 47 to 49. Today's estimated receipts, 1,075, and Monday's actuals, 775. Pork carcass cut out, 88.30, and that is up 91 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs today, 392,000. Last week, 404,000. A year ago, 405,000. Week to date of 778,000. Cattle for today and last week, both 127,000. A year ago, 131,000. Week to date, 257,000. Box beef cut values are steady on choice and lower on select on light to moderate demand and moderate offerings. Total movement today, 167 fab loads with 46 trim. Choice, 197.48, that is down 21 cents. Select at 182.22, and that is down $1.44. Opening report for the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville. Estimated receipts this morning, 401. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading steady, with Holstein steers steady to 50 cents higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 and 124.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 111 and 115.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 123 to 124. Monday at the Arthur Hay Auction, 1,297 bells sold. Compared to 2 weeks ago, small squares of alfalfa traded $1 to $2 lower, with grass hay steady to $1 higher. Alfalfa premium quality small squares sold from $5 to $7 with good quality at $4 to $4.75, large squares at $65. Alfalfa orchard grass mixed good quality small squares from $4 to $4.75. Alfalfa mixed grass good quality $4, large squares $50 to $55. Mixed grass, good quality small squares at 4 to 450. Large squares, 25 to 37.5. And large rounds at 30 to 37.5. Wheat straw, good quality small squares, $1.50 to $2. At the United Producers Hay Auction this morning, 225 bales sold. Compared to 2 weeks ago, mixed grass sold 25 to 50 cents higher on limited receipts. All prices are for small squares on a per bale basis. Alfalfa, good quality at $4.50 to $5.50. Mixed grass, good quality, 3.25 to $3.50. With oat hay grass mix, fair quality, $1.75. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 143 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. For block cheese, 165, up 3 1/2. For barrel cheese, 156 and a half, up 4 1/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday ended at $15.69. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.11. For July, $5.49. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.11. For July, $5.41. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.30. For July, $13.86. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $5.91. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield and Scottville, $6.11. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.30. Wheat at Scottville, $5.91. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the low 80s and light east winds. For tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-80s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 70s, high temperatures about 90. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 55 degrees. This reminder, the Coffeen Senior Citizens Meeting for today has been canceled. It's 6:21. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Imagine how it feels to be the big 175. Sloan's and John Deere is celebrating its birthday to make things easier on you and your bank account. Enjoy 0% financing for 60 months on John Deere 1 Series tractors. The 1 Series start at $11,296. Offer ends July 31st, 2012. Subject to approved credit on John Deere financial installment plan. Visit any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations for details.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, Tuesday, we went over the supply-demand report from the Department of Agriculture with Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Open cry trading on the Chicago Board of Trade began Tuesday morning at 7:20 in response. But according to Sam Hudson, not much changed.
Well, this was the first USDA report where we did have the markets open. Both the electronic and the pit session were open. The pit opened at 7:20 this morning. That'll be the norm from now on. And eventually it's going to end up closing at 2 p.m., but that will not go into effect until, I think, June 25th. So at some point here, we're going to have open trading all day long, and it'll be in conjunction with those electronic markets, at least from 7:20, and they're still going to potentially adjust the timing of the USDA reports. There's a lot of public comment going on about that right now, And, at some point you wonder if we'll see a change there as well. But we did see some gyrations here at the beginning of the session. As soon as the numbers came out, we had corn trade 11, 12 lower at a certain point, rallied back to about 2 lower. But the numbers themselves were a little bit of a non-event. Many of the numbers were well within lines of expectations. So I think a lot of the price discovery was already built in, and now the focus is going to immediately revert straight back to the weather forecast and what we see for the extended forecast. And still not a bunch of updates there. I mean, we're still seeing very conflicting weather reports for that. The two-week forecast does offer, in one model, significant rainfall between 1 and 3 inches on about 75% of the Corn Belt, whereas the other one suggests that we're not going to see much of a rain event at all. So, until one of those confirms, the market's going to probably hold its head above water and chop around until one of those can give us more of a direction. But we did see a slight decrease in the corn and soybean carryouts, which was, as I mentioned, expected. And wheat also a slight decline. But, with the price movement we've seen, with the weather premium we've put into the market here over the last week or so, like I said, I think a lot of that was worked in. We'll have to see where we close the market and then, again, go back to the weather.
The bulk of the Corn Belt here across the state of Illinois yesterday received anywhere from 0.3 to 1 inch to over 1.5 inches of rain. Did that factor in?
Yeah, definitely. And we actually saw a little bit of pressure applied to the market yesterday as those rains moved through. Something to be cautious about is we still have some areas in central and eastern Iowa that are rather dry, and they did catch a little bit of rain out of the same exact system, but it wasn't a lot to buy a lot of time. A lot of it was just enough to settle the dust, at least for a day or so. If we heat back up, which it doesn't look like we're going to immediately, we could certainly start drying out again. But there were areas, basically everywhere south Peoria, or everywhere south of Peoria, got rains yesterday. Everywhere north pretty much didn't get anything. So those dry pockets, especially in west central Illinois, still might have a few issues here. But you just wonder, are these rains going to come just at the perfect time this year and really fix some of our problems that we're seeing right now?
That sounds like that might be the case, because they're talking about a chance of rain next week, and we'll be needing it by that time.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's definitely possible. I mean, that's what everyone still fears is, they're not going to raise it, or they're going to have a bad yield, or is this going to turn out like last year, as far as, weather is concerned, is it going to get really hot during pollination? And again, all that is up in the air. Certainly that pollination time frame is going to be the most critical time, but it's very hard to argue, that the crop looks like it's in bad shape when you compare it to the last 2 years. I can just remember driving around, and you see all these yellowed out, holes and wet spots out there, denitrification going on. We haven't seen any of that. Yes, we may have some shallow root systems. Maybe you got a little bit of that rootless corn. But for the most part, that plant is in pretty good shape. And you can't really do a lot to that plant to hurt it unless it just never rains again. As long as we get these timely rains, it should be okay. More importantly, going to be, a big need to get those right ahead of pollination, where we could use anywhere from 1/4 to 1/3 of an inch a day for some of those plants.
So in review, the rain yesterday and the early start of open cry trading today and the crop report released, it really didn't really amount to all that much, did it?
Not too much. There was one interesting point, too, that I haven't talked about yet, and that was the good to excellent ratings yesterday that fell a little bit more than the trade expected. They were anticipating a 2 to 3% decline in both the corn and the beans, and corn actually went from 72% good to excellent down to, I believe it was 66%. So we saw about a 6% decline. A lot of that attributed to the dry weather, and primarily Illinois and Indiana were the biggest drop. They each dropped about 10%. And I think a lot of that is in reaction to more of this rootless corn syndrome and the hype about that, and also just the dry factor and how critical things could get pretty soon if we don't get that rain.
But that could change with next week's report, too.
Absolutely.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. And we have the weekly crop report from the Illinois Ag Statistics Service. We join Brad Schwab.
Statewide temperatures averaged a near normal 69 degrees. However, rainfall accumulations were well below normal at just 9 1/100 of an inch, which was 81 1/100 of an inch below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 10th. These dry conditions provided 6.7 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies declined to 26% very short, 52% short, and only 22% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile has also been depleted and now stands at 24% very short, 48% short, and only 28% adequate. The driest crop reporting districts, based on topsoil moisture supplies, were the two southern districts, both reporting 70% in the very short category. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 733, which was 105 units, or 17%, ahead of the historic average. Corn growth continued at a healthy pace last week with a reported average height of 29 inches, a growth of 10 inches in just 1 week, and this height is compared to 13 inches a year ago and 16 for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn height was the East Southeastern District, with an average height of 42 inches. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in 56% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. Soybean emergence advanced to 96%, compared to 69% a year ago and 65% for the 5-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 50% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature at a record pace, with 97% reported turning yellow, compared to 65% a year ago and 56% for the 5-year average. 74% was reported ripe, and this compares with only 14% a year ago and 11% for the 5-year average. And the recent warm, dry conditions were near ideal for harvest, with 53% of the crop reported in the bins by week's end. Historically, harvest has only reached 1% by this date. Sorghum planting advanced to 82% complete, compared to 62% a year ago and 50% for the 5-year average. Pastures and alfalfa were rated in fair to good condition, with a second cutting of alfalfa reported at 29%, and this can be compared to 3% last year and 4% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Coming up next Tuesday, Lincoln Land Community College and Ag Drainage Incorporated will co-host a Farm Drainage Expo. It will be held at Lincoln Land's lab at the corner of Shepherd and Toronto Roads in Springfield, near the main entrance to Lincoln Land. We talked to Lincoln Land Agronomy Professor Bill Harmon about the expo.
What the people are going to see, ADI, which is a division of Timewell Tile from Western Illinois, they've made a major contribution to the college, to the foundation, that's going to allow us to put in a tile system. For anybody from the farm community, they're going to get to see how tile is installed, talk to the people from the industry. ADI is the largest installer in the nation. See some new ideas as far as water management. We're going to have, this system is going to be more advanced than what you'd traditionally find in just a typical field installation, because it's going to allow us to do research on nutrient management, so how we apply fertilizer, the rates, the timing, the form, and we're looking at, you know, are these nutrients, especially nitrogen, is it moving underground in our tile outflow? And we'll be able to pull samples. We're going to have access points to it. We're going to have control valves where we can close off different sections of the field at different times. We're going to have a bioreactor, which is basically an organic filter that the water will run through during normal flow. And the microbes living in there on the wood chips will pull the nitrates out to build protein. And so the water that comes out of it will be much cleaner. We're within, campus is within half a mile of Lake Springfield, which is a water source for over 100,000 people. And so this is a good way we can show the, you know, the non-farm public practices that we're, that university's recommending, you know, what industry is doing to make sure that the soil and water is safe and that we're being environmentally responsible.
You know, it seems that drainage has become more and more important over the past several years in agriculture.
Oh, definitely. With the weather cycles we've seen over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years of, you know, extremely wet springs, we've lost a lot of yield, especially throughout central Illinois because of ponding and flooding. The tiling companies have been working pretty much nonstop over the last 3 years. This last winter was so mild, most of them didn't stop at all. Because, and if a farmer was, or a landowner was to call and try to, you know, order tile, they'd get on a waiting list for at least 6 to 12 months out. Well, that's one of the reasons we're doing this right now. The summer is traditionally the off season for tiling companies, but we've told them, when you're ready, we're ready. So yeah, we're going to lose a few rows, but we're going to get this system put in. We've lost research plots at the college. That's really what started this whole process, we wanted to try to work, do a better job for our partners, the companies to come in and do research with us. They'd lost some plots, which, that's just not good for anybody. So that was our original goal, was to, just improve the facilities there at Lincoln Land.
And Lincoln Land has really taken the lead among area colleges around here in the drainage work, haven't they?
Yeah, this is going to be a one-of-a-kind system throughout the Midwest. There's a university up at Michigan State. They have something similar to what we're envisioning. But as far as in Illinois and Trinity Community College, it's going to be one of a kind. We've already got some excitement from some of our corporate sponsors, people like Growmark, who are wanting to look at, saying, hey, you can use this system. We can do more in nutrient management because there's a job market there for whether it's, people working in a residential or urban environment, wanting to make sure of water quality. Agriculture, obviously, is going to be a bigger issue in the future. We're really excited. We think this is going to open some doors for us at Lincoln Land.
And that was Lincoln Land Agronomy Professor Bill Harmon. For more information about the Farm Drainage Expo next week, phone 786-2219. In other farm news, in Tuesday's World Supply and Demand Report, the USDA raised its estimate of China's 2012-2013 corn crop to 195 million metric tons, up 2.2 million tons from last month and above the previous year's revised estimate of 192 million metric tons. The USDA raised estimated area by 1% from last month to 34.3 million hectares, about 3% above last year. The forecast yield of 5.69 tons per hectare is essentially unchanged from last month, but down about 1.5% from last year's record yield. The United States Department of Agriculture says China's soybean crop will be the smallest in 20 years, at 12.6 million metric tons, down about 0.5 million metric tons from last month and about 7% below the previous year. Total soybean area was revised this month to 7.2 million hectares, down 0.3 million or about 4% from last month and down nearly 6% from last year. In some other ag news notes this morning, meteorologist Bryce Anderson said Monday the dry weather is causing some farmers to look dubiously at a recent supply-demand report. The USDA's World Agriculture May supply and demand report estimated an average corn yield this season of 166 bushel, but with the lack of rainfall, topsoil moisture is rated at 26% short, 26% very short, 52% short, 22% adequate. Many counties are reporting signs of stress in both corn and soybeans. Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow says the report released Monday that shows how the rural economy is helping to drive the nation's economic recovery further illustrates the need to pass a farm bill before the current farm policy expires. Senator Stabenow says American agriculture represents a bright spot in the economy. She notes ag exports are reaching record highs and America's farmers and ranchers are outpacing the rest of the world in productivity and efficiency. With 16 million U.S. jobs supported by American agriculture, she says it's critical Congress pass the farm bill this year. Senator Stabenow says they must provide farmers and small businesses the certainty they need to continue growing, creating jobs, and helping the economy recover. Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns is looking to ban the Environmental Protection Agency's use of aerial surveillance with an amendment to the farm bill. Senator Johanns says it's a trust issue, stating that farmers and ranchers don't trust EPA doing low-level surveillance flights over their operations. He adds that the surveillance program only adds to the deficit of trust the closed-door agency has earned of late. According to a press release, the agency failed to provide comprehensive answers about the program's use nationwide. The amendment introduced Tuesday would specifically prohibit EPA from conducting aerial surveillance to inspect or record images of agricultural operations. It does not affect the use of traditional on-site inspections. Senator Johanns says it's past time for Congress to put an end to EPA's use of aerial surveillance. Finally, in our farm news this morning, the Sangamon County Farm Bureau and the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office have been collaborating for months to design a system to help deputies be more effective at protecting rural residents from burglary, vandalism, missing persons, and violent crimes. The result is a joint effort whereby Farm Bureau has licensed a notification system developed locally by Connected Software to initiate a product known as eLert. This system connects Farm Bureau members in real time with the Sheriff's Office via text or email whenever a situation occurs. The process is simple. Upon becoming aware of criminal activity, the Sheriff's Office issues an eLert via an internet module to alert Farm Bureau members of activity in their area. The message can state when and where an incident had occurred and important information, such as the description of a vehicle or person. A photo of the vehicle or person can also be linked to the message. Members instantly receive the message and can become an extension of the eyes and ears of the sheriff's deputies and report back to the sheriff's office upon seeing anything relevant. Deputies can then follow up by intercepting the suspect vehicle or people and conduct appropriate law enforcement action. Once again, in electronic trading on the Board of Trade right now, we have July wheat trading at 621 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. September wheat now trading at 640 and a half, up 5 3/4. July corn now trading at 582, down 2. September corn now trading at 524 and a half, down 2. July soybeans now trading at 1434, down 1. And August beans now trading at $14.50. That's down 3/4. We'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show this morning brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.